بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umara radiyallahu anhuma, who said, "Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yaqul, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَصُومُوا. If you see it, then fast. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا. And if you see it, then break your fast. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. And if your view is obstructed, i.e. by clouds, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. Then estimate it. From last week's lesson, if you see it, then fast. This it, this dhamir, what does it refer to? What is the Prophet referring to when he said, if you see it? Who said? Which moon? The new moon. Good, mean the new moon, because we have the full moon, the new moon. And again, if you see the next new moon, meaning of the following month, then you break your fast. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. And if your view is obstructed of the new moon, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. Then estimate it. فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. What does it mean? What does it refer to? Estimate it how? 29. By completing 30 days of Sha'ban. By completing 30 days of Sha'ban. So therefore, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed us of two ways of knowing when Ramadan has started, and what are these two ways from this very hadith? Two ways of knowing when Ramadan starts.
First, obviously, you can see the new moon.
The physical sighting of the new moon, and then secondly,
it's the absence of it, and you don't see it, it's cloudy, etc. Then you complete 30 days.
30 days of Sha'ban. And notice a point perhaps we didn't mention last week, and this is a very fine point. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he didn't attach the beginning of Ramadan to the new moon. He attached the beginning of Ramadan to the sighting of the new moon. So there's a difference. Meaning it's possible that there may be a situation in which the new moon is there, but we cannot see it because of clouds. So the beginning of Ramadan and the ending of Ramadan isn't linked to the new moon being present. It is linked to us seeing the new moon. In all of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always mentions, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ, if you see it. And in another hadith, سُومُ لِرُؤْيَتِهِ, fast due to its sighting, i.e. the sighting of the new moon. And this also shows us the invalidity of beginning Ramadan, because calculations or observatories have told us that the new moon was present. So the ruling of beginning of Ramadan and ending of Ramadan, it isn't linked to the new moon itself. Rather, it is linked to the sighting of the new moon. And as you see from these hadith, the word which is always mentioned is لِرُؤْيَتِهِ, when you see it or when you sight it. And we mentioned last week that there was a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he attached the beginning of the month to the sighting. And this is because this is something which everybody is able to do so. So this important act of worship, it wasn't left to a few exclusive individuals who are able to calculate and make calculations or know astronomy. Rather, it is linked to something which everybody can do, and that is to look and see whether the new moon, it has been sighted. And we also spoke about the issue of, if the new moon is sighted in one country, then is this sufficient as a sighting for all of the ummah? So if, for example, the new moon was sighted in, let's say, Yemen. Is this now an obligation upon all of the ummah that we have to fast because of the new moon? Or does every country, does every land or place have its own sighting? And these are the two famous opinions of the ulama. And what did we say was the correct opinion? And Allah knows best. What's the correct opinion? Every land has, or every locality has its own sighting. And the evidence for this was the narration in Sahih Muslim, which was narrated by Quraib, in which he fasted because he was in Sham, and he fasted because they had seen the new moon on a Friday. And then a few weeks later he travelled to Medina, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he asked him that, what day did you fast? And he said that we saw the moon on Friday, and then we fasted on this day. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, لَكِنَّا رَأَيْنَاهُ لَيْلَةَ السَّبْتِ. However, us in Medina, we saw the new moon on the Saturday. فَلَا نَزَالُ نَصُومُ حَتَّى نَكْمِلَ ثَلَاثِينَ أَوْ نَرَى. So we will carry on fasting until the 30 days have been completed, or we see it again. Meaning, the people of Medina, and Ibn Abbas was there after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't suffice with the sighting of the new moon in Sham, which at that time was under Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And then he said, Quraib asked him, أَلَا تَكْتَفِي بِرُؤْيَةِ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَصِيَامِهِ. Is it not sufficient for you? Is the sighting of Muawiyah and the fasting of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu not sufficient for you? Ibn Abbas said, لَا هَكَذَا أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. No. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered with. And Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned this hadith in the chapter of Bab Bayani anna li kulli baladin ru'yatuhum. The chapter of every locality or every country has their own sighting. And the author, Sheikh Al-Bassam, he mentioned also one of the ulama called Al-Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn al-Murakashi in his book Al-Adhab al-Zallal fi Mabahith Ru'yat al-Hilal, in which he said that if the distance between two lands or two countries is less than 2,226 kilometers, then they have the same sighting. And if it is more than this distance, then for every country and every location is their own sighting. So this was the hadith which we covered last week. In this lesson, we come to the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تسحروا, make sahur, for verily in the sahur there is blessing. So this hadith has been narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered the people to make suhoor. And the word suhoor, it can be pronounced in two ways, and there's a different meaning in each way. Either there can be a fatha on the scene, ay sahoor, or there can be a dhamma on the scene, as suhoor. So if the word is pronounced with a fatha, sahoor, then it relates to the food or the meal itself. So that pre-dawn meal which we have just before Fajr, that is called sahur with the fatha on the scene. And if there is a dhamma on the scene, then it refers to the action of taking the pre-dawn meal. So sahur with the fatha, it is the meal itself, and suhur with a dhamma, it is the action of waking up and having that meal. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he orders with as-suhoor. And as I mentioned, this is the eating and the drinking and the meal which is taken just before dawn. And he mentions that there is a benefit or a wisdom in taking the suhoor, and it is that in it is barakah. There is blessing in the meal itself, and also the action of waking up, there is barakah, there is blessings in the suhoor. And this blessings, this barakah, it covers benefits of the dunya and also benefits of the akhirah. So therefore, what is the barakah, what is the blessing of taking suhoor? Firstly, that by taking suhoor, it helps you in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day. So because a person has had suhoor, they have with them enough energy to last throughout the day in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you know, Ramadan, it is a month of al-jidd wal-ijtihad, the month of striving and making efforts in worshipping Allah, and it isn't a month in which the day is spent sleeping. So if a person didn't have the suhoor, then staying awake throughout the day and worshipping Allah and reciting the Qur'an and praying and making dhikr, this would be difficult for a person. Also, from the barakah, from the blessings of the suhoor, is that a person doesn't become bored of fasting, or fasting isn't difficult for him. So if a person never took a suhoor and every day just fasted and then broke his fast once with iftar and then carried on, then this would place difficulty upon a person. And our religion, it is a religion which is built upon ease and leniency. And from this ease is Allah has encouraged the believers to have a morning meal before the dawn and to have a meal just after sunset. Also, from the barakah, from the blessings of suhoor, is that you are fulfilling and implementing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you take a suhoor, when you take the pre-dawn meal, then because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so, you are also doing it. And therefore your fast, it is more perfect and more complete, and there is more reward in this. From the benefits of suhoor and the blessings is that it gives you an opportunity or an encouragement to wake up early before Fajr. And this time before Fajr, no doubt it is a blessed time. So when you wake up early before Fajr and there is an opportunity for you to make dhikr and to remember Allah, and also it is a time for play, a time and a place for dua, then because you woke up for the suhoor, you are able to do this. It encourages you in starting the day with dhikr and dua and reflection and so on and so forth. So these are some of the benefits and some of the blessings of making a suhoor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He ordered us with suhoor. He said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. He said, eat and drink, meaning throughout the night. You are allowed to eat and drink throughout the night up until the white thread of dawn is clearly seen from the black thread of darkness. ثُمَّ أَطِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Then complete the fast up until the evening. So Allah ordered us, He said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, eat and drink. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فُصِّلَ مَا بَيْنَ صِيَامِنَا وَصِيَامِ الْيَهُودِ بِالسَّحُورِ. That the difference between our fasting and the fasting of the Yahud is the suhoor. It is the suhoor, the taking of the pre-dawn meal, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Therefore, what do we benefit from this hadith? Firstly, it is recommended for a person, it is encouraged, it is mustahab, it is emphasized for a person to take the suhoor. Secondly, there are many great blessings, there is barakah in taking suhoor. And thirdly, from these ahadith and this ayah, a person may think that it is an obligation to take suhoor, because the Prophet said, tasaharu, take suhoor. And whenever the Prophet orders with something, then the asl, the default ruling is that this is a command. And when Allah orders with something in the Quran, like He said, wakulu washrabu, eat and drink, then the asl, the default ruling is it is a command. Meaning, if فعل الأمر, if a command comes in the Quran and the Sunnah, then the asl is it is wajib. But if we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something in opposition to this command, then we know that it isn't wajib, it is mustahab, it is recommended and highly encouraged. And there are hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which sometimes he did not take suhoor, and the only reason he didn't take suhoor, meaning he continued fasting after the iftar, is to show us that the command for taking suhoor isn't an obligation, rather it is something which is highly recommended. And then we come to the next hadith, and it is the hadith number 177, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قام إلى الصلاة قال أنس قلت لزيد كم كان بين الأذان والسحور قال قدر 50 آية. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates from Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu that he said, we made suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he stood up for the prayer. Anas said, I said to Zayd, how much time was there between the adhan and the suhoor? And Zayd replied, qadru khamsina ayah, the amount of time for 50 ayat to be recited. And this hadith has been narrated by two famous virtuous companions, the first of them Anas ibn Malik and the second of them Zayd ibn Thabit. And Anas ibn Malik, he's from the young companions from the Ansar, and he's known as Khadim al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The nickname or the laqab of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is Khadim al-Nabi. He was the servant or the helper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was a famous scholar from the scholars of the Sahaba and a narrator from the narrators of hadith. And it is mentioned in a hadith how when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first came to Medina, his mother, she pushed Anas towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said that he's young and intelligent and he can be in your service and in your aid. And there are hadith in which he mentions خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. I, Anas, I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 10 years. وَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ. And he never ever said to me, uff. In those 10 years of me aiding him and serving him in his house, in his daily chores, مَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ. He never said the word uff. And the word uff is an expression of displeasure. And he never said to him, why did he do this if he had done something? And he never said to him, why did he not do this if he hadn't done it? So he is Khadimun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for Zayd ibn Thabit, then he's also from the famous young companions, and his nickname is Katibul Wahi. And the meaning of Katibul Wahi is one of the scribes of the revelation, because he was one of the few companions who at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would actually write the revelation, the Quran. And he was also from Qura' al-Quran, from the memorizers of the Quran and from the teachers of the Quran. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that which we find from the hadith, wallahu a'lam, that the memorizers of the Quran, they were called al-Qura'. And this word hafiz, wallahu a'lam, as far as I know, it wasn't famous at that time. In the hadith we find Hamil al-Qur'an, a carrier of the Qur'an, meaning a memorizer of the Qur'an, and we find the Qurra. And the Qurra were a group of companions who were known for memorizing the Qur'an. Zayd ibn Thabit, he had the virtue of being a writer of the Qur'an as well as a memorizer of the Qur'an. And he was a yatim when the Prophet came to Medina. He was only 11 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina. From the virtues of Zayd ibn Thabit is that he was the person who first compiled all of the Quran. And the story is famous, and it is that at the battle of Yamama, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many of the companions who were the Qurra, who were the memorizers of the Quran, they were either martyred or they were dying because of their old age. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he encouraged him for the Quran to be written and collected physically as a manuscript before the Qurra die and the Quran is lost. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he looked towards the companions that who is able to do such a job. And he chose Zayd ibn Thabit. Why? Because Zayd ibn Thabit, he was a writer of the Qur'an anyway, so he had with him certain ayat of the Qur'an, and at the same time he was those who had memorized the Qur'an. And Abu Bakr said to him, and as far as I can remember, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. He said to him, إِنَّكَ شَابٌ عَاقِلٌ, that you are young and you are intelligent. لَا نَتَّهِمُكَ, and we do not have any doubt in you, we don't accuse you. وَقَدْ كُنْتَ تَكْتُبُ الْوَحِي لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and you used to write down the revelation for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَتَتَبَّعَ الْقُرْآنَ وَاجْمَعُهُ, so go, find the memorizers, find the various pieces of writing and collect the Qur'an. And Zayd said to Abu Bakr, كَيْفَ تَفَعَلُونَ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفَعَلُهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, how can you do something which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied, Wallah innahu la khair, by Allah it is something which is good. And Zayd mentions, فَمَا زَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ يُرَاجِعُنِي حَتَّى شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي كَمَا شَرَحَ صَدْرَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Abu Bakr, he kept coming back and encouraging me and emphasizing to me the importance of this up until Allah opened my heart to that which he had opened the heart of Abu Bakr and Umar. And then Zayd said his famous statement. He said, Wallahi, by Allah, لَوْ كَلَّفُونِي بِنَقْلِ جَبَلٍ مِنْ جِبَالِ الْمَدِينَةِ, that had they ordered me to move a mountain from the mountains of Medina, لَكَانَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ Al-Quran, it would have been easier for me than being responsible for writing down and collecting all of the Quran. And it is mentioned in the narrations that Zayd ibn Thabit, he went to the various companions who had either memorized the Quran or who had bits of Quran written with them. Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran, all of it was not written. One companion might have 5 ayat written on a stone, and another companion may have another 10 ayat written on a leaf, and another one maybe on leather, and so on and so forth. So Zayd ibn Thabit, he went and he travelled to all of the companions, to the memorizers, the Qurra, as well as those who had written, and he collected everything, and he made a mushaf, a central manuscript of the Qur'an. And in this hadith, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that we made suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he stood up for the prayer. Anas asked him, how much time was there between the suhoor of the Prophet and the prayer? And he said, قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً, the time which takes to recite 50 ayat. And what do we benefit from this hadith? Firstly, it is recommended for a person to delay the suhoor as much as possible. So that which is better and more recommended is not to take the suhoor early, rather take it late, as much as you can do so before the adhan of al-fajr. And there's a weak hadith, and this hadith is weak. It is narrated, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسِ بِخَيْرٍ مَا أَخَّرُوا السَّحُورِ, that people will always remain upon goodness as long as they delay their suhoor. And this hadith, it is munkar da'if. However, there is a more authentic hadith in At-Tabarani, and Shaykh al-Albani considered it to be sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مِّنْ أَخْلَاقِ النُّبُوَّةِ, there are 3 matters which are from the manners of prophethood. تَعْجِيلُ الْإِفْطَارِ, hastening to make iftar, meaning do it as early as possible after Maghrib, don't delay it. وَالتَّأْخِيرُ السُّحُورِ, and delaying the suhoor as much as possible, and of course not after its time. وَوَضْعُ الْيَمِينِ عَلَى الشَّمَالِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, and the placing of the right hand upon the left hand in the salah. So, from the benefits of this hadith is that it should be delayed as much as possible before the Fajr or the Adhan of Fajr. Will suffice with that for this lesson. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.